drawing room over here.
Are you on the list? Oh, doesn't matter. Come on in. Here, have one of these.
I'm not quite sure what it is that he actually passes then, but, well, we'll pretend it's nice. Not so much a drawing room this evening as a homotopia, if you will. It's an idea we've been exploring, a little series on homotopias, places where LGBTQI people feel safe, celebrated. Now, with me in our drawing room this evening, two people working to make places, well, very everyday places, places that we are all extremely familiar with, to convert those to homotopias. We are talking work and school. We're not talking Final Frontiers, but, well, I don't know, something close to that. Luke Furness is Chief Executive Officer at Out for Australia. Pam Barker is the General Manager of Open Doors Youth Service. Welcome both.
Thank you very much.
Luke, to start with you, a workplace homotopia, is that the same as a workplace heterotopia, sort of a place where sexuality is neutral?
Yeah, I think that's not a bad way to describe it, Jonathan. And I think what we're really trying to get to is a stage where the LGBTIQ community feels confident to be themselves. I think it's an ideal that we all wish for all our employees. I think it's something that, you know, in a space I get that there's disagreements, but I think one thing that we can all agree in is that we want our employees, our workers, to be safe, comfortable and free to be themselves. And so that's what we're aiming for at Out for Australia.
Our sexual nature isn't necessarily part of our sort of work nature.
Yeah, and that's a point that people sometimes make, you know, workplaces aren't about sex, you know, leave it at home, you know, we don't want to know about it. But I think that it's not about, you know, it's not anything about being overtly sexual, it's just the experiences that we all enjoy, maybe that we don't know about revealing our sexuality at work. We live in a country where we pride ourselves in being a bit casual and talking about what we did on the weekend. And so I really like the freedom to talk about what I did with my male partner. Where you went on the holidays, you know, all these sorts of conversations and experiences that are just really easy to have once you feel comfortable talking about who you are.
I mean, that's the thing, isn't it, Pam? That sort of workplace sexual conversation, it can be a negative thing. I mean, it can be a sum of prejudice as much as a sort of a, you know, open, happy, kind of meaningless celebration of everyone.
Yeah, it can be. And I guess when you look at sexuality, it's not like you're talking about your sex life or anything like that. You're just talking about who you share your life with, and it's part of your identity. And I guess in our society, you can grow up heterosexual and not have to clarify why you are heterosexual. And, you know, telling your parents or your family that you have met a boy or a girl and you're bringing them home and to meet for dinner, you know, it sort of doesn't bat an eyelid. And I guess in today's society, you know, it is where it is not seen generally as normal if it is a homosexual person or someone who has an attraction to the same gender.
My workplace is kind of unusual, but I don't know. That would seem weird to me that anybody's, you know, detail of their life or their sexual nature would raise any sort of an eyebrow in the workplace. But perhaps that's not a common experience.
Not everywhere. Not yet. And I guess that's why we're here to talk about homotopia places, places that we create that are safe. And I think it is changing. Don't get that wrong. It definitely is changing. But I guess that is why there is a bit of a highlight around this.
I love having that conversation with people because I think that comes from we're on the same side when you say, oh, you know, it just doesn't seem like an issue to me. And you know, you probably come from that experience where, you know, you've had gay friends and people that worked with you is, you know, just that experience of, you know, letting your hair down about it. You'd be surprised how sort of the experience looks elsewhere. And I think a lot of it's about fear. It's not necessarily about, you know, people throwing sticks and stones in the workplace at gay people or overt, but it's just about the fear that what will happen if I am myself at work. And we're finding, and really the reason why Out for Australia and Open Doors exist is because the research shows that around 50% of the LGBTIQ community isn't out at work, and around the same 50% isn't confident that their managers would take effective action to combat homophobic bullying.
But this is the thing, you may have a view of your workplace which is entirely false, and as you say, based on apprehension.
Absolutely. That was the experience that I had. I mean, I work for Clayton Utz. It's a large law firm. And it's also a firm that, you know, I think sometimes my generation forgets that senior leaders have been around for a while and they've seen a lot of stuff. And that was certainly my experience. I experienced that fear and anxiety about coming out. And I think it was good to recognize that a lot of people were supportive. And I think these sort of initiatives give people not only the opportunity to correct any, you know, homophobic or transphobic environments, but also a chance for, you know, for people like you and for other senior leaders to say, I'm okay, but really have that visible sign that they are okay.
You're making certain assumptions about me, Luke. I'm not sure I'm happy about
I'm not, you know, I'm not saying anything about you being a different generation. You could be Generation Y.
Who knows? I'm interested in your story. There you are at Clayton Utz. Feeling a need to be who you are in your workplace. What were your first steps? How did you go about that?
Oh, Jonathan, you wouldn't believe how embarrassing it is because I think like a lot of people of my generation, I wasn't out. It was a competitive environment and I thought to myself, I just don't want to compromise anything. Sure, I think people will be okay, but what if they're not? And what if someone makes a decision about me based on something that I think is irrelevant? Even to the stage that, you know, when we had this LGBTIQ committee, I wouldn't even tell my secretary about it. I tried to hide it from her. I wouldn't even reveal or, you know, take a phone call through her. And I think you're right. It was the opportunity to expose what was, in a lot of cases, just not true. And I think that's the conversation that people of all generations and background need to have.
We can see, I mean, I begin to see within large organisations how these conversations might unfold, and it's, you know, inclusion and diversity, all those words are part of sort of modern corporate culture. So there's sort of a place for working on the idea of the homotopia in the modern organisation. But Pam, in the modern school, is that a more complex environment?
Yeah, it is. It's very complex because you've got different stakeholders. You have, you know, if you're a private school, you'll have the board and the senior staff. If you're in Education Queensland, state-based school, you've got the governing body of Education Queensland. You have teachers, you've got parents, you've got the students. You have the carers. So there's multi-layers of people involved when it comes to a school environment becoming a homotopian environment, and it can be very complex navigating and negotiating that environment.
I mean, schools can be of a mind and the bureaucracy around those schools can be of a mind, but then you add in the parent population, you're talking about hundreds of people with attitudes from across the spectrum.
Definitely. And I think, you know, the media plays a part in what we see in our community. So I guess parents are trying their best to provide the best education for their kids, you know, allow their kids to grow up in a world that isn't always easy to navigate. And there's a lot of emotion and a lot of stuff flying around sort of in the ether that they take in. And it can be quite confusing and overwhelming for parents to know what's right and wrong for their kids and make the best decisions. However, you know, you've got young people too that are seeing all this and trying to make the most of themselves in this world, as well as navigate things like sexuality and gender questions. So, yeah, it's very complex.
Who'd be a kid? I mean, really.
No, I think you're right. If I ever think if I could go back, it's the age 25, not any younger. It's a tough gig being a kid. It is.
So much
it's
to work out in this
days.
World.
Yes, it is.
We're talking about homotopias in the workplace and in schools. I'm doing a bit of this here in the drawing room. Luke Furness is with you. He's Chief Executive Officer at Out for Australia. Pam Barker, you just heard, is General Manager of Open Doors Youth Service. I guess, Luke, the workplace homotopia, sort of describe that for me. What does it enable? What does it facilitate? How does it do that?
Look, I love the concept of a homotopia, you know, and play on the word utopia. If we were to think about that and if people were to draw it, it probably looks something like, you know, people madly waving rainbow flags and, you know, parades up and down the hallways. I can tell you the homotopia for me is just the most, you know, I'm a tax lawyer, I hate to admit, and it looks as boring.
No flags
and as
in your
normal,
office.
And yeah. It looks as
cost
as,
too much.
It just looks like like every other workplace does, and it's a normal day where I talk about the things that I do in my personal life. Mm. It's where I'm free to be myself. And then we get back to work and we do exactly the same things that every other tax lawyer does, which I can tell you are not the subject of a good radio
interview. No, I don't think we want to talk about that.
No. I promise I won't. But there's a certain amount of, it's just funny, when we talk about a homotopia, I think it really is just the experience that, and I dare say it's the same at schools, it's the experience of just trying to be just exactly like everyone else and no special treatment, just equal treatment.
What do you tell the sort of apprentice boilermaker in the big heavy industry who's struggling to be who he, she is in that workplace? How do you equip that person to start making a difference?
I think it's through the power of a network in the LGBTIQ community that we've created through, you know, protests of the 80s. And now I think we're really becoming really sophisticated in the way that we network like any other community. Mm. And, you know, the boilermaker working in wherever, North Queensland, Kalgoorlie, you can bet that there's another boilermaker, maybe not in that area, but somewhere in the country that we can start to have the conversation with, because you can't know all the answers yourself, but somebody does. And the bigger the community gets, the more somebodies we have to put to everybody.
It's nice, isn't it, Pam, to think, yes, somebody has the shared experience, somebody has the answer. And I look at the same question to you, the homotopia in the school, describe that.
I guess the homotopia in the school is an environment where all young people are treated equal and their individuality is acknowledged and celebrated, understanding that everybody is different regardless of your sexuality or gender, and that, you know, you can even look at things like race, and if you're Indigenous, we are all, you know, allowed to receive equal and fair treatment and access to education and to make friends and have spaces where we can talk about issues that happen as a young person. Because lots of stuff comes up and life is a bit full on when you've got raging hormones and parents that are driving you crazy and school to adhere to and SATs and OPs and, you know, all that stuff. So, you know, I guess as normal as possible with lots of support and opportunity to talk and understand, you know, that issues can come up like mental health issues, and that's quite normal too. Mm. And looking at the diverse spectrum of young people and the diverse identities and the diverse experiences of young people, and just really cherishing that and just seeing them as just young people trying to make the best in the world. And, you know, some of our LGBTIQ young people are the next leaders, are the next CEOs, are the next prime ministers. Yes. So, you know, just having that environment where we just cherish our children, allow them to be individual and have access.
I mean, those kids are that, you know, they are the next generation and they will carry the attitudes of that generation with them. But I think I'll be at an interesting point now, just in closing, where this conversation is such a commonplace and when these issues are talked about so much and you can feel the ground shifting with such certainty, and yet at the same time as that is happening, the resistance to that digs in as well. Mm. And we sort of have this moment now, don't we, of more conflict than there has been for a long time because that objective is so much closer.
I think that's a really good observation. Certainly I've noticed over the last couple of years it's been an extraordinary way forward and a couple of steps back. I think it's really good to take stock of what we all believe in. I believe, you know, Out for Australia and Open Doors really are about something that we all believe in. And it's not about politics. It's not about marriage equality. It's about something so much, you know, it's a very important topic, marriage equality, but there's also something extra that we all want. And there's hundreds of charities like us that are doing something for our kids to feel confident and for our students and our young professionals to feel confident. And I think we all agree that we want confidence, safety and comfort for our kids and for people that have just started in the workplace.
That does not seem like a big log of claims. That's not a big demand. It's something that we should be able to provide as a society, you would think. Thanks both. That homotopia may be a little closer. Luke and Pam think so and hope so. Luke Furness, he is Chief Executive Officer at Out for Australia. Pam Barker is General Manager of Open Doors Youth Service. I'm Jonathan Green, and that's it for me, and that's it for The Drawing Room and for RN Drive this evening. The good news, and you will rejoice at this, is that PK is back with you tomorrow. I'm gone. More on this topic too. Look for Homotopia on the RN website. There's a rather natty comic with lessons for parents. What do you do mum and dad when your kids come out as queer. It's based on Beck Zajac's personal story of coming out. Check it out. The RN website, Homotopia, is your search word. PK back tomorrow. Drive at 6. Up next on RN Extra with Geraldine Doogue.